This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia has just registered a new long-acting HIV prevention option that could be a game changer, especially for people who struggle with daily medication. So if we're closer than ever to ending HIV transmission, why isn't this option available yet? And who risks being left behind? Well, joining us is James Gray, acting CEO of Health Equity Matters. James, welcome to Drive.
Good afternoon. It's great to be with you.
This medication only needs to be taken twice a year. Why is that such a big shift compared to the PrEP options we've got until now?
The current option we have for PrEP, taking it orally, has been a really fantastic intervention for us over the last 10 years. There's different ways you can take it. You can take it daily. You can take it on demand. But for some people, it's just not an option. And that can be for a range of reasons. For some people, they have side effects from the medication, which means they aren't able to take it on an ongoing basis. Other people struggle to sort of sustain that either the daily PrEP or use it effectively on demand. So having this different option that would allow people to just go and see a doctor or a nurse twice a year would really, really support people to be adherent to PrEP and help us to continue to drive down HIV notifications.
So in terms of the goal of eliminating HIV transmission from the country, this will play a big role in that?
We certainly hope so. We've been doing pretty well over recent years in terms of reducing HIV notifications, particularly amongst gay and bisexual men. We haven't reached zero yet. And despite all the efforts of many different people in the community, clinicians, researchers, there's still more to do. The more tools that we can have to give people options and choice, protect themselves and their partners, the closer we'll get.
Now, this new long-acting PrEP has now been registered in the country. What does registration allow and what still needs to happen before we can access it?
Well, so the registration means that the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA, has assessed it for things like safety, efficacy and quality. So that's the sort of initial barrier to new medicines coming into Australia. We need to make sure that they're safe and that they work. What the TGA doesn't do, though, is think about things like cost effectiveness or subsidisation. That's typically handled through the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme and occasionally directly with government as well. So the next step in this exciting regulatory process is that the companies, I should also note, there is actually a second version of this, which is 2 monthly, which is also registered. And what we want to see is the companies that are producing these amazing new medications working really closely and quickly with the Pharmaceutical Benefit Scheme and with government to enter into negotiations about affordable, subsidised access for individuals.
I'm not sure how, I suppose, the assessment of these registered products work, but is it potentially the fact that, they say, well, we've already got one, something that does this. We don't need something else that does it so urgently. Could that be the case?
That is potentially part of the sort of calculation through the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. Say one of their key responsibilities is to ensure that we're using the health budget effectively and we're cost effective in our use of medicine. Our perspective would be that something like injectable PrEP isn't going to be for everyone, but it should be available to everyone. But there are some people who just can't use PrEP, as we discussed earlier. So by having a different form of PrEP, this will open up that option to many more people. So our argument would be that this is a sort of a different type of PrEP and it's going to potentially be for different people. So that's where we'd see that it will be cost effective.
Now, our clinical trials show a 96% reduction in HIV infections. What does that result tell us about how effective this option could be across different populations?
It's highly, highly effective. So there's been plenty of research on it. The main paper came out a bit over a year ago now. So people will be able to take this with confidence that it provides a really high level of protection for them. So similar to PrEP, the oral PrEP we have at the moment, they'll be able to take it and feel really confident that they're going to be protected.
We're chatting with James Gray from Health Equity Matters about Australian registering a long-acting HIV PrEP and why access and affordability are now the key hurdles. James, stigma still plays a huge role in HIV prevention. How might injectable PrEP help people who find daily pills difficult, visible perhaps, or even unsafe in their environment?
Absolutely. So if you only need to go and see your doctor, say, every 6 months, that means you're able to have a HIV prevention option that's very private to you. So you're sort of fully in control of that information and that knowledge. So rather than having, for instance, if you're in a share house, even having these pills around, and people might wonder, why do you have those pills? First of all, something like oral PrEP, does it mean you have HIV? Or even if people understand what it is, they may make assumptions about your sexuality, for instance. So by giving people an option that allows them to undertake HIV prevention in a much more private, personal way, it's going to open up prevention to more people.
James, we're all human, and you know, a lot of us travel. There's shift workers out there. There's people juggling double jobs, housing, etc. We all make mistakes, and sometimes it's easy when you've got a routine to forget taking your pill. Will that be part of the assessment in terms of preventing HIV infections through, just by forgetfulness?
I would imagine it will form part of the assessment and negotiation. Oral PrEP is highly effective when it's used sort of as recommended and prescribed. So for many people, it works really well and they're able to use the pills effectively. But for some people, it's not. And that's the group we're particularly interested in. But for those who, for a variety of reasons in their life, may not be able to keep a steady supply of pills, be able to take them discreetly if that's important to them, it's where this has a great deal of benefit. And that's why we think any form of long-acting injectable PrEP will be a really great addition to the HIV response.
James, I'm just thinking we've come such a long way since the 80s and 90s, haven't we, to think that we can potentially have an injection and, we've got that protection against HIV.
Absolutely. I will admit, given my age, I didn't experience the worst of it in the 80s and 90s, but I certainly have many friends that talk about it. And the change we've seen over the last 10, 15 years has been remarkable. One of the key things we keep coming back to, though, is the importance of the leadership of people with HIV in the response. And I think often people think that people with HIV, what does that have to do with PrEP? But we're all into this together, and that we all have that responsibility with our partners to be talking about how we're protecting ourselves and each other. And this is just an additional tool that will really help, we hope, with those conversations.
James, let's hope we get approval on the PBS soon. Please keep us posted.
We absolutely will. Thank you so much.
Thanks for chatting with us. That was James Gray, Acting CEO of Health Equity Matters. And for those who want to learn more, speak to your healthcare professional and visit healthequitymatters.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.